last time we began discussing the requirement of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs as a prerequisite, as a part of the Geirus process. Is the door open because of temperature control, or? The corollary to this is the Gemara in Bukhara from Daf Lam and Amibes. The Gemara there says, Tana Rabbanan, Kabbalah Kabbal Dibre Chaveirus Chutz Mitabrecha. If a person accepts upon himself to be a Chaver, to eat Vitara, to be extra nizer about Tumma Vitara issues, if that's Chutz Mitabrecha, they make Kabbalah Mitzvah, so it's all or nothing. Then the Gemara says, this is our concern, let's say a non-Jew comes and he wants to accept the Torah, he wants to be Megayer, and he says, I'm willing to accept 612 mitzvahs. Not enough. All or nothing. Rav Yossi reviewed the Omer, afilu dittuk echa midivrei sofer. Even if there is a small matter that's only the Rabbanon that a person refuses to accept, that's still considered chutz midavrecha. So Rashi writes chumr derabbanon. So any chumr derabbanon, any small matter, even if it's not mina Torah, that a prospective ger refuses to accept would invalidate or would prevent you from proceeding with the gerus. Fine. So what do you see? Now we talk about Kabbalah Samitzos. Kabbalah Samitzos has to be total. It can't be halfway. What's somewhat unclear from the Gemara is whether this is a din likuvar din lechachila. Lashon Gemara is a mekablen aso. So a mekablen aso can mean we don't lechachila accept him, but if we did, the gerus would be chal bidi eved, or a mekablen aso might mean if not even chal bidi eved. Not necessarily clear from the Gemara itself. At some point out, if you look at Rabbeinu Gershom on the side of the page, Rabbeinu Gershom writes, Chutz midavar echad e mekablen aso, da'amrinan ho'il ve'ein yachol lamed v'osadavar. We say, since he's not going to withstand the test of this particular matter that he refuses to accept, if he says, I don't accept upon myself this mitzvah, so he's not going to withstand the test of keeping that mitzvah or not violating that avera. So we're concerned if he's not going to accept this, then he's not going to accept, he's not going to properly follow other things as well. So that has a mashmos that it could be fundamentally there are certain things that if he wouldn't be mekabel, it shouldn't in and of itself pose a problem for the geirus, but we're concerned about the slippery slope. We're concerned that it's a sign of things to come, that if he's going to be selective and not keep this, he won't keep that either. Which may have a mashmos that it's more of a lechachila matter and not li'ikuva.
This is kind of like a broad question, but shouldn't this be a riot against people who say that you don't need to wash the mitzvahs? Shouldn't this be, like, if you know a person's not going to keep not only one mitzvah, but many mitzvahs, shouldn't that already be a riot against that? Or are these
Well, they're definitely related. I guess you would have to argue that if you assume Hadassah and Mitzvah and Kabbalah and Mitzvah are all the same, and it's not Ma'akev, so this also isn't Ma'akev, it's a Lechachila, but the Geirus would be Chal B'diyah. I guess you'd have to argue that. So the Rebbeinu Gershom may have a mashmah said it is Chal B'diyah. Most poskim seem to assume, when they present it, it's curious, Rav Kook points this out in Das Kohen Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, or Kufnan Dalit. Cook points out in Das Kohen that is curious that this doesn't make them to Shulchan Aruch, but all the poskim assume, even those that minimize its significance, all the poskim assume that this Din of Chutz Midavar Echad is La'alacha. And it's just a curiosity that it doesn't make it explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch, maybe implied, but there's no explicit stipulation Shulchan Aruch of Chutz Midavar Echad. But I think all the poskim assume that it is halacha on some level. Most poskim assume that it's ma'akev even b'di eved. There's a mashmos in the Rambam that way. The Mishnah Sager points out that Achronim say this. Mishnah Sager in Chelek Beis Siman Yuches. Chelek Beis Siman Yuches. He doesn't tell you there which Achronim say it, but I saw it elsewhere also. That the mashmos that way in the Rambam, Rambam writes, Yisurei Bia, Pered Yud Gimel. At the beginning of Perek Gedalet. Perek Beis Lofi Yizayin. Kol Hagoyim Kulam Kisha Yisgayru V'Yikablu Aleihem Kol HaMitzvah Shel Torah. So this mashmo is Yikablu Kol HaMitzvah Shel Torah, that it's not piecemeal. Kabbalah HaMitzvah has to be Kabbalah of all mitzvahs. Has to be Kol Mitzvah Shel Torah. The Mishnah Berurah actually writes this, so you wouldn't necessarily expect to find this in the Mishnah Berurah. But in Siman Shin Daled, which is the Siman, the very brief Siman about Shvisas Avadim, so Mishnah Berurah there has a comment in Be'er Halacha, Dibur Maskel Eino Yehudi Gomer, Siman Shin Daled in Hilchos Shabbos, Dibur Maskel Eino Yehudi Gomer. The Mishnah Berurah there has a comment that this din of Chus Midaber Echad is even Li'ikuva, so if someone were to be Megayer and say they're not going to accept certain mitzvahs, that would invalidate the entire Geiris, even B'di'evet. Okay. So there is a very famous kula of Reb Chaim Moser, which is sometimes, I think, more broadly extended than is evidence in the tshuva, but important tshuva. The tshuva that we referenced earlier in Chela Gimel Simen Kafav, this is an Os Dalet. Chela Gimel Simen Kafav Os Dalid. So he writes the following. So first of all, he says that if you are converting someone l'shem ishus, so you have to be concerned that she's not being megayer b'leiv shalem. And after all, we have the Gemara in Becharos of chutz midavar echad ein mekabel nosa afilu dikta gacha midivrei sofrim. So, isn't that a violation if there's a concern of the Isser of Nitan? That we discussed previously, how to get around the concern of Nitan. But if there's a concern of Nitan, so isn't that itself a violation of Dikta Vachem Bidivay Sofer? So there's an Isser Darban of Nitan, she's converting to marry him, and then they're going to get married. That's a violation of Nitan. So we discussed previously how you can get out of the Nitan problem, but assuming there is a problem with Nitan, so doesn't that knock it to first base? You don't get anywhere because the Geirus isn't going to be Chal since it's Chus Midavar Echad because she's converting to marry this guy, and that would be a violation of the Isser Nitan. So first he says, well, technically speaking, the Isser Nitan is only on the man and not on the woman. So technically speaking, even if there would be a violation of Nitan going on, the violation is his violation and not her violation. So strictly speaking, it wouldn't be considered chutz midavar echad on her part. Maybe we should consider about lifnei iver, because she's going to be machshel him in the Isser of Nitan. Then he says, well, maybe lifnei iver doesn't apply to an Isser lechachila, and the din of Nitan is only an Isser lechachila because the din is a nisei sotesei. So you can get out of the Nitan issue. But then he says more fundamentally, Levad ze nira. The din ze, the nachri shabal is gayer, the lakabal alav, kala mitzvah, schutz mi dipta gacha mi divrei sof and dei makabal. So this din of the Gemara in Becharos, Hainu b'masna shelo l'kabel. That's where you make a tanai. You're explicitly stating that you are not accepting a certain mitzvah. V'sheyei mutru lo davar zemen adin. So you're saying, I don't accept upon myself the binding nature of the Isser Lashon Hara, and therefore I am going to violate Lashon Hara without constraint. So, v'zeh ein mekablin oso, de'ein shir v'tnai v'geiris, v'ein geiris l'chatzai. So in that case, you're not mekabel such a ger or geiris because they're making a shir, they're making a tanai of a geiris, and you can't have a partial geiris. So if you say, I'm not accepting upon myself the binding nature of mitzvah XYZ, and I'm not going to feel bad by it, so that's what the Gemara means of chutz midavarecha, aval. V'misha mekabel alav kol mitzvah. If a person fundamentally accepts the binding nature of kol Torah kula, he accepts that he's going to be bound and governed by all taryag, rak shebedato lavov l'te avon, he just knows that he's going to violate certain averus l'te avon, he won't be able to help himself. Fundamentally agrees, he knows, he acknowledges that there's an issur lashon hara, but what can he do? Sometimes the temptation is going to be too great. So he knows that he's bound to violate a certain issur because of the temptation, but fundamentally acknowledges that he's bound by that issur. So ein zech yisarim v'din kabbalas habitzah. Kabbalas habitzah means that you fundamentally don't accept upon yourself the binding nature of a certain mitzvah. But if you accept upon yourself that the mitzvahs are incumbent upon you, you just acknowledge that you're going to slip up, that you're going to violate something like teyavon, that's not a chisaron of chutz midavarecha. Then he writes, based on that understanding, the Shoel of the Shiloh, so he didn't want to be Megayer a certain person because he was Choshish that he wouldn't properly be observant. So if he's fundamentally accepting the binding nature of Kol Torah Kula, but even though you know that you may violate certain mitzvahs with Te'avon, however, so if you acknowledge that Kol Torah Kula is binding, but you're going to violate certain things of Te'avon, that's not a chisaron in the Kabbalas HaMitzvos, that's not considered chutz midavarecha. But then he has a strong caveat. Ula. Heka shebarer hadavar shebevade yavor achrikein al Yisurei Torah. But where it's clear that he's going to violate certain Yisurei Torah. Chil Shabbos v'achilas reifas. So you know that he's going to violate some of the most defining Yisurim in Yadus. We know that he's not really sincere about this. So you don't say there that if you know that it's not just he's going to slip up occasionally with the teyavon, but fundamentally he's not really into it, and he's going to violate deyrus like Shabbos and Treifos. Also, he writes in Taras Mishpacha. So then, that's an umden de demuchach that he's not mekabel mitzvahs properly, and that is a chisaron de kabbalas hamitzvahs. So Reb Chaim Ozer has the carve out that if you fundamentally accept everything, you're just going to violate certain things of te'avon, that's not a chisaron kabbalas hamitzvahs, but if it's more than just the te'avon, and when it comes to the significant defining mitzvahs like Shabbos and Kashrus, and you're not really into the whole process, you're just doing it for show, then that would be a violation of chutz midavar echad. That wouldn't be a proper kabbalas hamitzvos. Okay. Professor Mark Shapiro wrote an article, which is a review of the English translation of the Segi Zohar book, which is printed in, I think, 2000, and the article was printed in 2011, 2010. So he writes here rhetorically that if you have the more macro position of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, he never understood how, where do you draw the line? How is anyone going to really seriously say that if any ger is ever speaks Lashon Hara, that's an indication that there wasn't a proper Kabbalah and Mitzvahs because that's supposed to be Dabracha because it didn't speak Lashon Hara. So it's clear that you don't need Chaim Moser for this, but it's clearer from Chaim Moser's presentation that no, Kabbalah and Mitzvahs means that you accept upon yourself the binding nature of mitzvahs. And if you don't accept upon yourself the binding nature of certain mitzvahs, that's supposed to be direct. It doesn't mean that you're never going to violate an avera. Everyone is going to violate an avera at some point. But you accept upon yourself that this is the package and all of this is binding. Okay. Ramosha has a number of shuvahs that deal with chutz midavarach related issues. And he has an approach that is similar but not necessarily identical to Reb Chaim Moser. So, for example, Moshe in Yoridea Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Vav, there are three chuvas there in a row, Simen Kuf Vav, Kasayim Kuf Ches, Chela Gimel of Yoridea. So in Simen Kuf Vav, Os Aleph, he raises the question as to whether this din of Chutz Midavarach is Likuv or not. In the later Shubas there, he seems to assume more emphatically that it is Likuva. So he first raises the question and tries to answer it, and it's clear from the Shubas that are both later in dates and later printed that he assumed it is Ma'akiv even B'diavad, like you saw from the Mishnah Berurah, and as is the seems to be the consensus of Poskim. So Moshe has the following analysis in Simen Kavav of Chela Gimel.
That's
okay. So Reb Moshe writes that most of the geiros that we encounter is really geiros Hashem Ishus. And really we have to be very skeptical about geiros Hashem Ishus. So even if the person who's being megaral Hashem Ishus comes in front of Bezdin and says that he or she is being megaral mitzvos appropriately, ain't no emes. You have to be choshesh that they're not telling the truth. You have to be skeptical. You have to do your independent research. You have to check and make sure that everything corroborates. You can't just take them at their word. I'm skipping a little. The who? Mishum the kevan shevishvil davar niskayer yeshlachu shem af shekibel amitzvos befiv lo kibel belivo. So you have to be concerned that since you're being megayer for ulterior motivation, maybe it's just a charade and you weren't sincerely mekabel mitzvos. The kevan sheish tamis var lachu shazeh, since it's a concern that's not coming out of nowhere, but there's a legitimate reason to be concerned that maybe they're not sincere. Hu ka'anan sadi. So that creates a certain anansadi. An anansadi, you have to be concerned that they're not authentically being makabel mitzvos. And you can't automatically assume, even if in a vacuum you would have said, and if they tell you they're makabel mitzvos, you don't have to be concerned beyond that. Because even if they have contrary thoughts, those are meaningless. But here you have an anansadi in the other direction. An insadi that there is reason that they wouldn't be sincere, so you have to be extra careful and extra sure of their sincerity in order to do the geiros. Then he writes, "Uberov ha'pa'amim v'ulai gam kol ha'pa'amim harei aben Yisrael sherotza benachri sabasim tal rotza benachri einam sharmi tal ra'atzmam." So most of the situations that present themselves are cases where the Jewish partner is not him or herself observant. Shalom iskaver shanafri vanafri shem iskairin b'shvilam yishmu dinei Torah yosar mehem. So it's unreasonable to expect that the non-Jewish partner who's being a gayer is going to be more from than the Jewish partner. That's almost impossible. And therefore, Havika Anansadi, She'e Mekaba and Mrs. Bavadai, She'lachain Tzarech Yishav Adas Godav Kabbalah Sagim. So you have to be extremely skeptical, especially in a case, as we would just about never be Megayer anyone in such a, under such circumstances, if the Jewish partner is not going to be frozen, so you can't have any reasonable expectation that the Ger or Gyoris is going to be more frozen than the Jewish partner. So that creates a very strong Anansadi that the Kabbalah Sagim is going to be lacking, and you'd have to be super convinced otherwise in order to do the gerus. So that might be a little bit of a stronger threshold for what's considered the Anansadi than Reb Chaim Moser. Right, more along the lines of the Dvarvam, perhaps. And then Ramosha in Simon Kubzayin talks about the following case. A prospective Gioras wants to convert in order to be able to live with a Kohen. That's Usser. And that would definitely, says Ramosha, be considered chutz midavarecha. So if you're being megayer almanas to live with a kohen, so then that is a very clear chutz midavarecha. So writes Rav Avadia, Yabia Omer Chelik Beis Eben Ezer Simen Gimel. Yabia Omer Chelik Beis Eben Ezer Simen Gimel. Now, there is a oft-cited tshuva of the Malami Lahoil, David Zvi Hoffman, that takes a contrary position. Whenever Schefter mentions this tshuva, he always notes that the Malami Lahoil was published posthumously, and anytime you have a posthumously published sefer, you have to be skeptical as to whether the author ever wanted it published, whether it was reflective of the author's final position on the matter. So I think he always points that out when he quotes his tshuva. But the tshuva of the Malami Lahoil, Chelik Gimel Simen Ches, was this very case. Cohen was married to a non-Jewish woman civilly. They had a son. The son died. That's inconsequential to the Shaila. And now, well, it's not inconsequential, but it's halachically inconsequential. And now the wife is bothered that she's not of the same religion as her deceased son, so she wants to be Megayer and she wants to remain married to this Kohen.
Maybe it's not inconsequential because maybe if they had a child,
yeah,
they don't want the future child to be Kohen, maybe. Would Basin care? I mean, he'll be a Challah, true, but he'll still be Jewish.
So Basin in general wouldn't care, although those who happen care.
Okay.
So But the consensus is against this. So those who often care, not that we don't care, but caring doesn't.
We got it.
So he writes the following. His judgment is it a bigger iser to have a kohen with a gioris or a kohen with an achus? So maybe kohen with a gioris is more kal than kohen with an achus. Now both of those are machlokas. Is kohen with an Yisrael with an achus, right? Is intermarriage is in the Issa deraisa or Issa derabanan, machlokas. Is kohen with the gioris Issa deraisa derabanan, probably also machlokas. So he assumes that there's more grounds to argue that the Issa of a kohen to a gioris is more kal than the iser of intermarriage, again, not necessarily pashut. And based on that, he thinks that a bezdin should be niskak to this case. We don't say chate b'shvil sheyiska chavercha, so why is that our problem? Alitei l'rosh v'yamos. And isn't this a violation of chutz midaber echad? Because even if you're going to regaya her, she's going to have to she can't live with the husband anymore because he's a kohen. So it means that she's not being mekabel the issa gioris of kahuna. So he says, Yeah. If she were to say explicitly that she's not accepting upon herself the iser of Giyavas HaKohen, that would be a problem. But as long as she's not saying it explicitly, even if we know full well that she's going to violate the iser, so then you could argue that since there's a takana sakoed and takana of the children, and there are other broader considerations, so maybe that's not really chutz midavar echad. And then he says, in this case, we're worried that the woman may have a nervous breakdown if we don't convert her, and that's going to lead to a chil Hashem, because people will say that the Jews are not being not caring for this non-Jewish lady, and they don't care if she's going to have a nervous breakdown. That's what he writes. So because of these considerations, he thinks that there's what to rely on to be Megayer this woman, even though we know full well that she's going to marry a Kohen, and otherwise it should have been Chutz Midavar Echad. So in the Jew, he doesn't really say, oh, it's not Chutz Midavar Echad. He says there's more grounds to be makel if she doesn't say explicitly, especially because of the other factors here. So it's not that emphatic an argument. I did find in Rabbi Amsalem's Mar Makomos book, he has a letter from a Vavadi which I don't quite understand. It says it's reprinted from Hamodia from 1970. So I don't know, it's not a newspaper clipping, so I'll assume it's authentic, but I don't know, I never saw this before. So this is in reference, again, Rav Avadia in the Tshuva that's printed in the Sefer is explicit that being Megayer, someone who's going to marry a Kohen or live with a Kohen can marry, well, there would be three solution. It'd be hard-pressed to find the Masada Kedushin to be Masada Kedushin, but if she's going to marry a Kohen, that would be Chutz Midavar Echad, it wouldn't be a good Geiris. But there's this heading here is Gilui Das Shel Rav Avadia Yosef Harav Rashi V'Raivid L'Tel Aviv Yafo. So this related to the Zeidman case. You know what the Zeidman case was? The Zeidman case was a case in circa 1970 where there's a woman who had a reform conversion and she petitioned, I guess, to the Supreme Court to have the conversion recognized, and the Supreme Court was at the position where it was willing to recognize a conversion, which would have brought down the government because Mafdal was ready to resign over this issue. Because the status quo was that only Orthodox conversions were accepted in Israel. And then Rabbi Goren did a gear on this woman on his own, and that solved the crisis. So that was the story as I knew it previously. But apparently, what seems to be evidenced in this letter from a Vavadi in Hamodia was that this woman was going to marry or live with a Kohen. So even though he wouldn't have endorsed the Geiris of Chatzila, he wouldn't have said to do it, but once the Geiris was done, he writes, Ezach Yisarim Beguf Kabal Samithas Atzmam Elashakayim Chashash Tabir Penit Gefena Yitzra Lavor Al Din Besuyim Laharag Gior Lachayin Zimit Akid Bidiyevet. So we don't know for sure that she's going to continue to live with this Kohen, even though it's a reasonable concern, but at least Bidiyevet, that's not considered Chutz Midavar Echad. So again, I don't know enough the context here.
She's not married.
I'm sorry?
She married him, the Kohen, or?
You mean Bechuk of the Kiddushin, or?
Yeah,
I don't know. This is I was unaware of the Kohen piece of this of the story. So, you know, this isn't your, it's a little bit late for you, history wise.
Sorry, yeah, before my time.
But if anyone wants to do the research, let me know what you find. I'm curious. Okay. So But this is generally the position of Batei Din, that we would not be Megayer or someone under these circumstances. You have this every now and then. You have a case where, let's say, the more common scenario is there is a non-halachic convert who's married to a Kohen, or even a non-Jew is married to a Kohen, civilly. And then, at some later point, there's some interest in Geirus, and they want Bastin to be Megayrus. So Bastin generally wouldn't touch such a case, but that if they're going to continue to live together, that's considered Chutz Mita Ver Echad. Shaila is whether it could be Megayrus children in that case, which we've had a couple times, and maybe we'll talk about when we get to Ger Kata. But I had one case where I was asked about this post facto, where there was a woman who was Megayer, and it was clear that it was in the context of marrying a Kohen, and subsequently she did, I'm assuming there was no halachic marriage, but did marry a Kohen and had children, and the question was whether the day school could accept the children. Because the mother's Geirus isn't good, then the children's Geirus isn't good. And we would be of the position that that's a real Chutz Mita. This is a Bez and Shel Adyotos. I don't think any of them are rabbis. Definitely not functioning rabbis. So strong argument would be made that the Geirus wasn't good even with the Eved. But can you do a Geirus on the kids even if the mother's Geirus was no good, and the mother can't rectify it because she's not willing to leave the Kohen. But otherwise, it's a firm home. Everything is fine, except for that one detail that the mother is probably not Jewish. So maybe we'll talk about it when we get to Ger Kata. Okay. And then, Ramosha has another fascinating analysis in the next tshuva, Chel Gimel Simen Kof Ches. So the case that he was asked about was a Gioras who, many years later, a Gioras who has been from for many years, and many years later she steps forward and says, you know, when I was Megayer, I had the following in mind. It was right before Yantiv, and I was told that if I didn't show up for 2 days of work on Yantiv, it wouldn't be good. So I had in mind that I would go into the office on Yantiv Sheni and look around and see if there's anything I needed to do. And she did that. But other than that, she's been totally from since then. So is that considered Chutz Midav or Echad? She had in mind that she may go and want to the office to do something. So in the analysis of that question, and Moshe has the following. He says, let's say a prospective Geragios comes forth and says that I'm fundamentally accepting of the binding nature of Kol HaTorah Kula. However, I don't feel that I will be able to withstand the pressure of getting killed for the Yehareg Bal Yavurs. So that considered Chutz Midavar Echad, that I'm not willing to give up my life to not violate Gilei Raishu Chasamim and the Avodah Zarah.
They're saying we accept the binding nature, which is something we can handle
the Nisayon. Right. So Ramosha doesn't necessarily subscribe fully to Chaim Moses Te'avon. Even Chaim Moses Te'avon may be modified by, it sounds like Chaim Moses Te'avon doesn't apply to Shabbos and Kashrus. That there's certain big things that you can't say, I'm going to consistently violate Shabbos and Te'avon. So that if you say I'll violate Lashon Hara L'Te'avon, now we might be understanding it. To say I'm going to consistently violate Shabbos and Te'avon, that is more difficult. But Ramosha does assume, based on a number of riyas, that in this case, that's considered ones, so that's not a violation of Chutz Midav or Echad. And then he says the same thing by Chemdas Mamon. Let's say you're going to violate certain Isurim because of Chemdas Mamon. So there's certain people where Mamon and Chavir relate Kigufa. So the same thing that you say about Yehareg Bal Yavur is that people aren't able to withstand the test of giving up their life, so people may not withstand the test of giving up their money. Abby?
Let's take another point. The felt the Rambam felt that someone who's not, who is over on a Yahar Galiyahu and says, I'm going to do the Aver, instead the Rambam considered that Nonis, and he was Pater.
In Hilchos Yahar Galiyahu?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then, so in the particular case that he was dealing with, the woman who went to the office on Yom Tov Sheni, so Moshe's other cheshbonos that she doesn't have nemanus to say that anyway, she definitely doesn't have nemanus to pass over her children, etc. But it's difficult to assume that Moshe actually saying that Chemes Mamad would work even for Shabbos? That if you're going to violate Shabbos, you're going to go to the office every Shabbos or open your store every Shabbos because of Chemes Mamad, that's not considered for the Rechav. Presumably, Moshe doesn't mean it to that extent.
Wasn't this case specifically
about Yom Tov Sheni? No, so.
It was 2 days of Yom Tov, I'm not going to go dress like, I mean, right?
But I think she only went in the second day.
This
calculation of the Averis Chamuros and Chemes Mamon is not directly to answer the case that he started with. It's kind of a tangent within the Tshuva. Okay, but Rav Unterman does kind of say something like that. Rav Unterman was the second Ashkenazi chief rabbi after Rabbi Herzog. So he has an essay which I forgot my office. Summing up, there's a stack of papers, I think right in front of my computer. That includes Rabbi Maris Tshuva and Rabbi Rosen's book on Geirus, just as Yerach is, and Rav Unterman's article. It should be just one stack of papers on Geirus topics, if you don't mind.
So it's always open.
Yes, open. Thanks so much. Rav Unterman writes the following. That when you're interviewing a prospective Ger Gioras,
Could we deduce from Moshe that it sounds like from the case that he's referring to that she's saying this one time,
right?
I have to do challah this one time because my boss isn't home Jewish yet. I'm officially not a Jew yet. So even if I go up to the girl and be like, I'm Jewish, at this point they won't believe it, they'll fire her. But she knows that the next time it won't be an issue anymore because then it'll already be established she's Jewish. So could it be deduced from Moshe that because it's such a specific like type of, like, it was only one time that she had to do it and wasn't planning to be in the future, that maybe he would say that it would be no problem at all?
I don't think Moshe makes that point.
If I recall.
Okay. So Rav Unterman writes that when you're... Thank you so much. So this article is entitled Hilchos Geirus Benerach Yitzua. I don't recall where this was published. He has an article, it might have been in Noam, in one of the early Noams, but I don't have, not 100% sure where it was published. So, Rav Unterman writes that when you ask questions of a prospective Ger Gioras, you don't have to be so specific to ask, what would you do if your boss demanded that you come to work on Shabbos? As he writes, that even if the person would go to work on Shabbos if the boss demanded it, that would be considered l'te'avon, and that wouldn't be chus adavar afet. So that he quotes Reb Chaim Ozer, but it seems to be broader than Reb Chaim Ozer, because Reb Chaim Ozer doesn't sound like that the oven hatcher would extend to such basics as regular chil Shabbos. But he says, you don't have to ask explicitly about every scenario, what would you do if your boss tells you to go to work on Shabbos, because even if you have to go to work on Shabbos, that's not considered chutz midav or echa. That seemed to be when we had a meeting years ago with Rabbi Druckmann, who we said yesterday was the had been the head of the Maracha Gira for a while. So Rabbi Druckmann was explaining the basis of how they operate the Maracha Gira, and he said basically, don't ask, don't tell. That we tell them what the expectations are. They go through the courses, but we don't do so much Rishon of Chakira. We assume that they're going to be Mekabel Mitzvos, and they say they're going to be Mekabel Mitzvos, Dvarim Shevelei Ben and Dvarim. And we don't have to ask anything beyond that. We quoted Chaim Moser. So, he didn't quote those few lines later of Chaim Moser, where he writes explicitly that that doesn't apply to Shabbos and Kashrus or certain big things that would be a Chisaron of Chutz Midavar Echa. Now, Rav Unterman does acknowledge that his exclusion here is by things that are lo shkiach. Meaning, if on occasion you have to go to the office, the boss asks you, so that's what they open. But if you know Meirosh, that you're going to be in Chal Shabbos on a regular basis, so that would be considered chutz midavar echa. So you're right. The thrust of this is how to be more accepting of geirus in Eretz Yisrael from people coming from foreign countries with some Jewish identity who aren't halachically Jewish, and we want to ease the process. So he writes the following. Kol amur kan binyan kabbalas al mitzvah su benogel amikrim lo shkichim. Shechom lavi oli de nisayon abidaita shel olam yisayon kashik azas. That case, that there may be challenged and may not withstand the test, so that's not a chutz midavar echa. She'ed zem ha'akib es ha'kabbala. Val, im shkichim ha'hizdam diyot ke'ela, b'chol orach hayav. But if he's living in an environment where there are daily and constant challenges, the choshev shelo yuchal is gabrolem, and he knows that he won't be able to withstand them. The chlal, v'zeya al seyulavu or averos, and that's going to force him to violate averos. Oz ein kabbalas al mitzvos shlei mitzvos. So that's not a legitimate kabbalas al mitzvos. V'temakev v'lachem im ager koveyam mekomot v'kibutz lo dati. So if this prospective ger is going to live in an irreligious kibbutz, shamir aseir kibbutz. Avapi sheomer ki eino ochal basar. He'll say, I'm a vegetarian, so I won't eat meat. V'lo yavu b'shabbos, and I won't work on Shabbos. Nira lomar ki ein kan kabbalas o mitzvos. Sharei im ein v'mekom megurav shum kashrus. All right, asu l'shamish b'kleim. So, okay, what do you mean? You can't leave it. V'gam ki sheino ovi b'shabbos v'kviyas. So even Rav Unterman, who is very nakal about what it means to have Kabbalah mitzvos and embraces a certain amount of not asking, but he acknowledges that if you're going to live in an irreligious kibbutz, if you're not set up for a Shomer Shabbos lifestyle, then that's basically chutz midavar echa. Interestingly, in this Rav Avadia letter from Hamodiyah 1970, of them, this is Zayman, he writes, even though, this is after Rabbi Goren's Geirus, even though Mrs. Zayman is living in an irreligious kibbutz, but she's a vegetarian, so there's no problem with kashrus. And she told us herself that she's going to keep Shabbos and try to keep all the mitzvahs. That sounds like even more nakal than Rabbi Unterman. Again, I'm not sure the whole context of... generally don't believe I read newspapers. I don't know the context of that excerpt. And then Rabbi Unterman says, well, what about the following case? So he says what we saw in Rav Moshe, that if you're going to convert a significant other, where the Jewish partner is him or herself, not Shomer Shabbos, that's also not going to work. because then you can't expect that the ger yoris is going to be more from than the Jewish partner. So we had a case where the Jewish partner insisted on going to work for a few hours on Shabbos, but he claimed that he wasn't really doing malach in the office, and it was never mechal Shabbos in the house. So in that case, he says you could hear be megar the woman, because in the house there'll be full shmirah Shabbos. So there are every now and then, maybe every few years, we'll have a case where, even though as a general rule, we would never be megayer someone whose significant other, Jewish significant other, is not properly observant. But we've had a rare case of, let's say, an older couple where all the kids are out of the house, and the, let's say, the Jewish husband is not terribly interested in being Shomer Shabbos, but he won't do anything to interfere with his wife's Shomer Shabbos, and won't be Mechal Shabbos in the home in any noticeable way. So in that case, and you know, there may be a rare occasion where a man would be comfortable being regarded the woman, where the woman is clearly very committed. In the case where they've been living together for years anyway, so there's not the real impetus for the gerus. And there is a significant sincere commitment, and the bezin's comfortable that it's not going to be compromised by the less religious nature of the husband. But that's a relatively rare occurrence, Avi.
And does the bezin just take that gentleman's claim on face value? Like, how do you... Do you have to then educate him enough to what that means?
Well, you talk to the rabbi. There's always a rabbi involved, the local rabbi. So you rely on the representation of the local rabbi. Okay. And then Rav Unterman writes... Klolo shel davar, ki b'shas t'cha kazu, she afshar v'shom ofen l'mnoa she is arvu olim zarim b'emine yisol tzvichem l'garim g'detara. So there's a certain... sociological imperative to do gerus in Israel. Kedei lasir mishalim mimishpachas yisoh shisar b'hen. Ukesher ra'u shelo chazu l'suran b'mesha chodesh yamim v'kadome ein lo hases yoser. It sounds like he's saying you have to be a little bit choshesh to see whether there was a proper sincere kabbalah mitzvos. But as long as you see that they're with the program for a month, you don't have to be concerned beyond that. So it sounds like if you're beguiling them, and then ready to the first Shabbos, they're Mechal Shabbos, they're not keeping anything, so that's proof positive that the Kabbalah Samitzos was simply Milifnim, there was no sincerity there, and that wasn't a good Geiris. But if they're with the program at least for a month, then that's enough of an indication that there was a proper kavalsa mitzvah at the time, and if anything happens later, that's just chazul suran, but that doesn't compromise the validity of the gerus. So even if Unterman has this 1 month waiting period, so to speak, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, the Abbez Din, Shadar Rav Zvush Lema, used to always say that in the mikveh in Chicago, there's apparently a McDonald's right across the street. So the way he would say it is that if the gear goes to the mikveh and then goes to McDonald's to celebrate, so that's proof positive that the Kabbalah Samitzvos was nothing and the gearis was meaningless. I think I've heard Rishav to say, I remember 100%, that your Unterman has this one month period, and it's somewhat, it may depend on the case, but maybe it has to be more than a month. You know, if the person with the program for a year, so then that's more than sufficient indication that there was a proper Kabbalah Mitzvah, so you don't have to be choshesh beyond that. If it's less than a year, so then you may have to analyze, based on the particulars of the case, whether they're trying to fool the Bezdin, or whether there was a proper kavalas mitzvos, and there was just a relapse.
This cheer that we're giving is after the years, right?
After the years.
Okay. Rav Shechter says that you might want to look at about a year.
Yeah, after a year, definitely, there's nothing to be concerned about, and less than that, may have to see what was the kavalas mitzvos at the time. At the time of the Geras. Rabbi Yisrael Rosen, the head of Machon Somet, used to be the a main player in the Marach HaGiura system under Rabbi Druckman. Rabbi Druckman brought him in. And he has a collection of essays on Geras entitled The Ohid Ger. So one of these essays, this is page 177 of the Sefer Ohid Ger, Bittul Giyur B'Mekre Kitzoni. So this is a case that the Beis Din was asked to rule on. It was a herkev of Rabbi David Bas, who we saw that ad that we mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Rosen, and Dur Dai, whose name I don't recognize. So the story was as follows. A woman and her three-year-old daughter came to Beis Din and wanted to be Megayer. They had glowing letters of recommendation about their Shavuos and Mitzvos and the Jewish education, and the Beis Din was Megayer them. Fine. Then the Interior Ministry discovered that the woman was engaged in a romantic relationship with a non-Jew, and she withheld this information from Beis Din. In fact, the non-Jewish partner himself attempted to convert, but he wasn't accepted to a conversion program because he was not an Israeli citizen, and he looked into converting in his home country of Turkey, but there's no conversion program in Turkey. Yeah, Turkey's tried to send their game to us on occasion, but not so simple. And after the Misrata Panim discovered that this woman was involved in a romantic relationship with a non-Jew, they turned to the Beis Din to ask the Beis Din to make a determination as to whether the Geirus was valid. Number one, was there a proper Kabbalas HaMitzvos? Was this all a charade? And number two, if the Beis Din converted someone under false circumstances, then maybe the Geirus was a function of fraud and not valid for that reason. So they deal with the question of the mother's Geirus and the daughter's Geirus separately. Our focus now is on the mother's Geirus. So this is a 2-1 decision ruling that the Geirus was no good. So the dissenting position was Rabbi David Bas, who makes the following arguments. Number one, there's no vados that this woman knew for sure that you're not allowed to live together with the non-Jew, because after all, she lives in a society where there is intermarriage, and maybe she thought that's the norm, or at least that wouldn't impugn the geirus, and maybe she thought that her significant other will also convert. Two, even if she understood the severity of the issur of living with a non-Jew, but it's hard to separate. So maybe that's like Chemdas Mamun, Nefoshos. Maybe that's Nachus Midabar Echad. Number three, Dvarim Shevelei Benim Dvarim. So she says she's Mekabel Mitzvos, and that's all we care about. Number four, even if there's an Umdana Demuchach that she didn't intend to keep all the mitzvos, but maybe Chutz Midabar Echad is good b'di'evet. number six, I'm skipping number five, that's to say everything. Number six, that the fact that there was fraud against the Beis Din wasn't in a fundamental component of the Geirus. Therefore, the Geirus should be valid.
What does that mean? That's not a fundamental...
That she said she's going to be observant. So this is a detail, but it wasn't so fundamental. So that's what Rabbi David Bass writes. And then Rabbi Rosen, who's not exactly from the biggest machmirim in the world, rebuffs his arguments as follows. So first he writes, when it comes to Geirus, it's not like a Din Torah. It's not like there's a Toen and a Nitan. The Dayanim are the final arbiters of whether there is a Geirus or not. It's not like you come at the time of the Beis Din that you have to be Megayrus or you have to say the Geirus is good, etc. Then he says, the fact that the woman withheld this information from Beis Din isn't because she was embarrassed or because she thought that they wouldn't be Megayer her. It's a double life to live Chayishas with the non-Jew. So she was lying and violating Onas Beis Din. You can't claim that she was an Anusa. And you can't tell me that this isn't Chutz Midavar Echad, because this is the most fundamental thing to being Jewish, to live Chayishas with a non-Jew. It flies in the face of everything that a Jew believes in and creates a insurmountable ikuv to any Geirus. And don't tell me Dvarim Shev Levin and Dvarim, because here you have the biggest Umdin and Demuchach in the world that she wasn't sincere. And she fooled Beis Din. He thinks it's not even a suffix. And the Geirus is totally invalid Meikara Bli Shum Safek. We had a case a number of years ago of a woman who presented to the Beis Din as being very sincere and committed, and the local rabbi was fully endorsing her candidacy. And it went through the normal process of time leading up to Geirus, and the Beis Din did the Geirus, and then the Beis Din got a tip after the Geirus was done that this woman was actually living with a Kohen, which was withheld from the Beis Din. So this is both these cases combined. The fact that she was living, this wasn't it, she was living, the fact that she was involved in a romantic relationship which was not too close to the Beis Din, A. And B, that would have been bad enough if it would have been a regular Jew. B, it's a Kohen that she's not allowed to live with anyway. So there, Beis Din felt that that's clearly Chutz Midavar Echad, as per the previous Jews that we mentioned, and the Beis Din said that they were not prepared to stand behind the Geirus. That is a relatively rare occurrence. Michael.
During the Geirus process, do you ask the prospective Geir if they're in a relationship
sure.
with someone? And
yes.
Because they lie, then you know for sure that they're lying. Because you find that after, that means for sure they're lying. They're
correct, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
sponsoring Rabbi Noam?
No. Sponsoring Rabbi is also fooled.
Is there like a hotline?
So
I give
text
to FaceTime?
Yeah, I'm the hotline.
Call it anonymously?
Yeah, you can call it anonymously. I won't recognize your voice. Moshe has the following, which we should also mention. So Rav Moshe addresses, this is Chela Gimel Sim Kovav. Situation of a woman who wants to accept Kol HaTorah Kulo, but is not prepared to follow what are the norms of the from community as far as tznius in dress. So is that considered chutz midavar echa? So Rav Moshe has the following suggestion, independent of Rav Chaim Moser. So lichachila maybe shouldn't be mekabel such a person, but he has the following cheshbon. Since we live in a society where even among the Jewish women there is a certain level of preetzus and dress, even among those that are otherwise observant, so if a woman comes to be megayer, she thinks that this thing is just a chumrah, just something the rabbis want to impose, but it's not normatively required, because she knows that everyone else's children dresses that way, so why should she be held to a higher standard than all the other women in Shul? So it must be that this is some chumrah of the rabbis. And even the rabbis say, no, it's not a chumrah, this is actually the din, and she doesn't believe the rabbis. So maybe that's analogous to the din of Nisgayer ben Akum. So the case of Nisgayer ben Akum, Shabbos Samaches, is where you're not aware of Yisurei Shabbos. You think that's a chumrah. So nowadays in America, no one could argue that someone would be unaware of what Shabbos involves, at least on a basic level. That any non-Jew in the street anywhere knows something about Shabbos. So it's hard to construct a case of Nisgayer ben Akum in the Shabbos context. But Moshe says, as far as Tznius, that may be Cain, Nisgayer ben Akum, where she views it as a chumrah and not part of normative halacha. So that wouldn't be considered chutz midavar echad for that reason. Uh, we should at least come back briefly to the difficulty in the Rambam, the Rambam's analysis of Geirus HaShei Yavar and the Shei Shimshon V'Shlomo, where on the one hand the Rambam writes, Al Yala Davcha, the Yudgimel Yudalit, Al Yala Davcha, Shimshon HaMashiach Yisrael, Shlomo Melech Yisrael, Shinikri Yidid, Denasi Nasha Nachriyas B'Giyusan. But rather, there was a Geirus, albeit Bezen Shele Yodos. And then, that's why Lefisha Gir Shlomo Nasha V'Nasan, and Shimshon Gir V'Nasa, Nisa, Hadabri Yadua Shelo Chazru Eilu Elvishel Davar, V'lo Alpi Bezdin Girum, Chashvan Akasuf Gilu Hein Goyos, V'Yisur and Omdin, V'o Shelchi Asafan Tfilasan, Shein Ovdo, Savodazara, Shelahen, Ubanel and Bamos, V'Ela Alav Akasuf Gilu Hubanan, etc. And then Elohim Zion, Gir Shelo Bagu Achra, V'o Shelo Hudiyu, Amitzvah, V'onshan, Amal V'Tavol, V'fnei Gimel, Yotos, Hareiz Agar. V'afilu Noda, Shevishvil Davar, U'mis Gayer, Hovel Umal V'Tavol, Yatsa Mechlal Hagayim, V'choshishim Lo, Ach Yisba'er Zidkusa. So, on the one hand, don't tell me that Neshe Shlomo weren't Megayer, they were. But on the other hand, there is this kind of moratorium of Ach Yisba'er Zidkusa. And the fact that by the wives of Shimshon V'Shlomo, Nivla Sodan. So it sounds like it turned out in the end that it wasn't all good. But if it wasn't all good, then does that mean the Geirus wasn't good? If the Geirus wasn't good, so they did marry a non-Jewish woman, which is not the point. So how to square all the elements of the Rambam storyline is challenging. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik has a suggestion I don't quite understand, printed in Kavod HaRav, in which he argues that there may be this middle status where you could have a Geir or Geiris that is 90% Jewish, but is just restricted from marrying. You can take a look at the article, I don't quite understand it. They have some rise for such a possibility. Rav Moshe seems to suggest the following, that there is a in a case of a Geirus done by Bezen Shel Yodos where there's some legitimate skepticism, let's say, about whether there's a proper Kabbalah of Mitzvos, so there is a certain waiting period to check whether Yisparis and Kusan, and then that would be Megale if it turns out that they actually are from, they're living observant lives, so that's Megale that the Geirus was a good Geirus. In the case of Shlomo, they were a Chozer L'Surah much later. So all indications were that the Geirus was a good Geirus initially. Later on, Chazal L'Surah, that didn't impugn the actual Geirus, which is why they were properly married to Shlomo Pialacha. But nevertheless, it wasn't an ideal situation. Varaya, later on, they were Chazal L'Surah. So even though they were Chazal L'Surah, they're still Jewish. But we don't want to L'Chachila create such situations of people who are going to be Chazal L'Surah. Rav Amar in the Tshuva of the Shem Shlomo we quoted last time, Chelek Vav Simen Yud Beis Yerodea, Chelek Vav Simen Yud Beis, suggests maybe Chandler Rambam is, although he's a little hard pressed to prove this, but he doesn't have a better suggestion. Maybe Chandler Rambam is that they're halachically Jewish, but you would have wanted rather Mashiach. So they ain't Makarvin, ain't Dochim, they were Jewish, but it wasn't an ideal situation, so you wouldn't want that person marrying your son. Okay, so one way or another, you have to figure out what to do with the Rambam. There is a Chazanish, Simon Kufi Tess Yerodea Sif Beis. Simon Kufi Tess Oz Beis, and we'll close with this. The Chazon Ish writes, V'nira de'inyan geirus eino ella l'ma'amin v'yisodo shetiva Hashem es Yisrael chukim v'mishpatam ayidei Moshe nevi'o v'vdila mikol ha'amim v'masur lehem ki yicholim l'kabal geirim mikol ha'amim ayidei bila tefila v'kabala. So it's not just that you're buying into the Torah system. It's not enough to accept upon yourself that you're going to follow Torah mitzvahs. Avalam eino mamin b'chol zos ela shemekabel alav lisnaig al pi chukei haTorah nimnei shehahanhaga zos hitiva oso ometzelos oso minahezek ein zo kabalos geira. So if you don't accept the fact that the Torah was divine and given by Moshe Rabbeinu and B'nai and Klal Yisrael were distinct from all the other nations and Hashem separated us to give us the Torah, etc., if you just think that this is a nice lifestyle to become part of and you keep Torah mitzvahs because it's attractive to you and makes you feel good, but you don't buy into the theological underpinnings of the Torah and the fact that everything is Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu, so you don't see the divine part of the picture, so then that's not a good geirus either. There has to be a certain acceptance of Emunos Fideus. So not just a dry legal system that you're going to follow, but you have to buy into the theology as well. Yeah.
How do you ascertain that? Like, is that like if they go like on the blog and they start writing things and you that seems questionable, then
that would be one way of being concerned. But it's one of the things that you discuss, just like anything else. You have to have a context and a comfort level. But Rav Usher Weiss has in the Darkei Yarov volume Yud Beis. I think this one might have been reprinted in one of the volumes of Chulas. But he was dealing with a case, this is Simon Yutes in the Darkei Yarov Yud Beis. He was dealing with a case of a ger who claimed from Guy, and many years after the Geirus, he came forward and said at the time that he was Megayer, he thought that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Judaism to the Jews, he gave Christianity to the Christians, and he gave Islam to the Muslims, and there's no Bechira of Klal Yisrael per se. And then later on he realized that there is a notion of Am HaNivchar. But at the time that he was Megayer, he wasn't aware of and didn't buy into the notion of an Am HaNivchar. So is that a good guess? So I would have said based on the Chazon Ish, no, that there has to be certain underpinnings of Emunas V'Deos, and if you don't have the proper Hashkafi perspective, then that's also a Kain Chutz Midavar Echad. So Rav Usher argues that there's no Mekor that a Ger has to actually know the Ikari Emunah. And even the Chazon Ish is talking about someone who isn't a ma'amin in anything. So this guy was basically a ma'amin. There's just one detail in his Emunos Fideos that was off. And Rav Usher says the Chazon Ish means that someone who's not ma'amin in anything, who is just doing the mitzvot because it's a nice thing to do, but doesn't have any theological understanding of why. That would be a problem, but you don't have to know all the Ikari Emunah. There's an apocryphal story that I think you heard from Rabbi Bleich, which I think involved Rav Yashiv, although I may not be remembering, one of the Gedolei Poskim of the last generation, where there's someone learning in Panovich who discovered that he wasn't halachically Jewish, and he realized he had to be a guy, so he went to talk to Rav Yashiv. I may be getting some of the personalities wrong here, but basically, he went to talk to Rav Yashiv. And Rav Yashiv asked him some questions about the Ikari Emunah, and he realized that this guy didn't know all the Ikari Emunah, and he said he can't be Megayer because he don't know the Ikari Emunah. So that seems to be the simpler understanding of the Chazon Ish, but Rav Usher in this tshuva argues that the Chazon Ish is talking more globally, but there's no requirement for Geirim to know all the details of Emunah today. So we generally expect a prospective Geir to be familiar, at least familiar with and accept the basic Ikari Emunah. We tell them to study the Rambam's Ikari Emunah and some other details of Emunah's Vidayas as well. Okay, stop here. So how many of you plan on being here on Sunday?
Afternoon.
Afternoon. Okay. Yeah?
Sunday is good.
Okay.
Monday,
no. Fine. How many of you plan on being here on Monday? Okay, so at the moment I'm planning on Sunday and Monday. Do you prefer Sunday earlier, later, middle?
Early, middle.
9 o'clock?
Sorry, 9 o'clock. How about...
11.
That's what you have to.
Okay.
How about 3? 3?
Oh.
Yeah.
5 times?
9 o'clock. Like what time is Sam's thing?
Starts at 5. I mean, I'm going to start 5 to 8, so I'm going after 5.
Okay, fine. So, so let's aim for 3 o'clock on Sunday. Okay? The next topic will be the role of Bezin and Beres. I'll try to add some more marmor comments now to what I said that already.
So does it all.
Okay, yeah.